Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to Golf Talk America. Thanks so much for being with us. And we've got a wonderful show headed your way to talk about what's going on in the PGA Tour. This week's stop is the CJ Cup, and it's at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas. We'll be talking with Golf Channel's very own Todd Lewis, who is in Las Vegas getting ready for the tournament, and it's been moved from South Korea, and we kind of know all about that, the changing world that we're in with the COVID situation, but the tournament's still going to be played, just at a different location, and another chance to see Shadow Creek. We, as normal people, don't get a chance to see that very often. We have to go back to a couple years ago when Phil and Tiger played in their big $10 million winner-take-all match that a lot of people got to see this little gem in the desert there outside of Las Vegas. And so we'll talk with Todd here in just a few minutes and a little bit more about what's going on the PGA Tour. And, of course, just around the corner is the Masters and a lot of anticipation for that down the road. Frank Bassett, as always, join us from the Nashville studios. How are you doing today, Frank?
Good. In Nashville, back from Firestone Country Club. We'll talk about that later in the show. Wow, what a great place. A lot of fun. Played all the courses. And I brought the South Course to its knees, literally.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. If you believe that, I have something I want to sell you, pal.
It is a beautiful facility, and you went there to kind of review it with other people there. It's all part of the family, Club Corp family.
Yep. And, it is.
So we'll talk a little bit about your experience there. You said it was first class all the way around, right, Frank?
Yes, it was.
You like the royalty that you are.
Yes, it was. They did it right. So, you know,
very nice.
We hear some noise in the background opening the show, and that's the beauty of having a live guest on. Especially the type of guest that we have on, which is, we're honored to call him a good friend. And he is a good friend. He's been on this show a lot over the years. We've had a lot of fun together and watched his family grow together. And let's just bring him in. It's Todd Lewis from the Golf Channel, live from the Las Vegas Strip this morning. How are you, Todd?
I'm good. Let's go ahead and make sure we understand. I got up early and walked around on the Strip. I haven't been up all night.
Been up all night.
Melanie's texting right now. Where are you, Todd?
Well, she's the one who woke me up. I think my wife, and I love my wife and my daughter, we often talk when I'm on the road and my daughter's on her way to pre-K, and she called me bright and early at 5 a.m. this morning as they were going on their way to pre-K, forgetting that Las Vegas is Pacific time. But, you know, that's another story. Let's talk some golf.
let's do talk some golf. I know Tim's got a bunch of questions for you.
I am curious, though, Todd, before we get into that, though, what's Las Vegas like? I mean, everybody knows of it, if you haven't been there during the COVID situation, as it being a crazy 24-hour-day kind of city that never sleeps. What's it been like for the last time that you've been there now? Is it a very different kind of feeling in Las Vegas?
Well, in my other life that I lived prior to family, I used to come here frequently, and it was all people. I just got in yesterday and went out and played some golf when I landed, and went out to eat and walked a little bit of the Strip last night. I mean, it's about 40 to 50% of what you are used to when you come to Las Vegas. I mean, there's still people here, but it's nothing like it was. You can see things slowly coming back. Casinos, they have plexiglass between each player. So, you know, those little things that we're kind of getting used to now in this world is happening here in Vegas.
Last time we saw and talked about Shadow Creek, which again is hosting the CJ Cup this week on the PGA Tour, for a lot of people, as I said in the open, was when Tiger and Phil played in their big match, their big money match, and that was and we saw a lot of it almost at nighttime because they finished so late that it got dark there and they had to turn the lights on and everything else. But I'm assuming that this won't be your first trip. You've been to Shadow Creek before. What do you think about the golf course?
Well, it is my first trip. I've never seen it. I'm going to see it for the first time today. Looking forward to it. I know a lot of the players and some guys that have played it. Here it's a world-class facility. Golf course can be challenging, but for these guys, you know, what is challenging? I'm expecting some blue numbers this week, though, from what I understand.
Yeah, Shadow is, from what I understand, and I've not played it either, is like a golf course they've plucked out of Disneyland and placed it in the desert, and you eliminate the desert around it. It's just a totally different style golf course than what you see in desert golf.
Yeah, and usually, I mean, first you got to look at the weather conditions, no matter what tournament you're at. And if the conditions are prime, as they should be this week, not a lot of wind, you know, these guys can attack. And, you know, they don't have to play a lot of defense. I mean, they're not facing Wingfoot out here. Like I said, I'm expecting some mid-60s, you know, quite a bit actually from these guys.
The other thing about the golf course, Todd, other than the uniqueness of it being set down in the middle of the desert, it's an exclusive club, and that's why it's hard for a lot of people. It's a private club, and people that aren't normally big gamblers haven't had a chance to see it. So I think a lot of people are going to really enjoy watching the tournament this week. And because of COVID, it normally would be played in South Korea, but they've had to move it. As far as the fans go, I don't know where things are at. I'm assuming it still is very limited, or any fans at all, Todd, will be allowed at the Shadow Creek to watch this event?
Limited fans. You know, family members can come out. Maybe a few support people can come out. And I think they're allowing sponsors and such, CJ people from South Korea, those who have made it over. Now, remember, when they come over, they have to quarantine. And when they go back, they have to quarantine. So not a lot of them will be here. But you'll see some sprinkles of fans around the ropes.
And how do you think it's worked so far with COVID? We go all the way back to Fort Worth, right, at Colonial, when they came out of the down 3 months or whatever for the PGA Tour. How do you think the PGA Tour has handled it so far, the events you've been to and even watched on TV like a lot of people? So far, so good? Do you think they've done everything as best they could do as far as the tour to put on the events?
Well, let's go back to June when they came back at the Charles Schwab Challenge in Fort Worth at Colonial. I mean, we were so uncertain at that time. We didn't know what to expect, you know, in our society. And now sports is coming back. You know, golf, the PGA Tour was one of the few sports that came back early. I think NASCAR was ahead of them barely. But for them to handle this the way they have, and more importantly, when I say them, I'm talking about the players and the caddies. Sure, the tour can set all the guidelines and the protocols, it's up to the personal responsibility of those players and caddies to follow them. I mean, they travel around and, you know, city to city. You know, they want to eat and go to restaurants and so on. So they have to deal with that. I do find it phenomenal that there have been more players on the Florida Marlins Major League Baseball team that were found positive than the entire PGA Tour. So that's an A-plus for the tour for what they have done, considering they have traveled all over this country.
Yeah, and absolutely. The Tennessee Titans, for instance, the football team.
Yeah,
24 players and our staff have tested positive. So the tour has done an exemplary job.
Yeah.
But my question, Todd, is you're out there week in and week out. We used to be, but you know it's throttled back until 2021 for us. So what's the feel at the course when you're out there? Of course, you do the interviews, and a great job, by the way. But when there are just no spectators and there are no chalets around and there are no backdrops to bounce anything off of and are trampled down rough, what's the feel? Do you interact more with the players during the round?
Well, those are two different questions, right? I
mean, right,
first,
right.
You're right. Let's start with the playability. The golf courses are a little harder. Although you don't see it in the score,
no. And
exemplifying how great these guys are. But yeah, you know, they had some guardrails with some fans outside the ropes. and secondly, if they hit it there, you know, outside the ropes, generally they had a good lie because the rough had been trampled down. That's not the case now. So the playability is a little tougher, not a lot more. But from an energy perspective, it's odd. It really is. It took me a few events to get used to it. And players have noticeably talked about how odd it is, and the fact that Rory has said, you know, I find my mind wandering around, you know, I'm thinking about balancing my checkbook, how big that checkbook is, or whatever he's thinking about when he's playing golf. He's not really as focused because the fans would keep him focused, or if he made a great putt or a great shot, you know, you could feed off that energy. So it took us a while to get used to it, but I think we're accustomed to it now. I think it'll be more interesting when fans come back, you know, after so many events being played without them. I'm talking about full fans, you know, full-throated, energetic group of people, how that will affect players. They'll have to get used to that again. So we'll see. Yeah, but right now, everything's kind of, you know, basically the norm.
Yeah, especially the Open, the U.S. Open. I mean, good Lord, it was just, it was, for me, it was great to watch and hard to watch at the same time, just because the type of fan that you have up in that part of the country, and it gets, as you well know out there, it gets boisterous and just crazy. So
I mean, you could go any tournament just about. I mean, when Justin Thomas made that 50-foot birdie put in the playoff against Colin Morikawa at Muirfield, when Morikawa hit that great shot on the back nine for Eagle at the PGA Championship. You know, we could run down a whole list of great shots and how fans would have reacted.
It's been a unique stop, at least for the last 3 or 4 months, for sure, on the PGA Tour. But as you said, again, we're joined by Todd Lewis with the Golf Channel, that it is what it is now, and we're all kind of, you know, getting used to it in every different sport. The PGA Tour, the CJ Cup at Shadow Creek, has got a pretty good field, Todd. It's limited to 78, so there will be no cuts being made, but you got some top golfers there, and the return of one Brooks Koepka, who we have not seen in quite a while, and getting healed up and better and healthier, and assuming that he is at least close to 100%, what do you expect out of Koepka this week?
Not sure, to be honest. You know, he was below his average, to be kind, prior to him taking a time off. And I know this, he's put a lot of stress on his knee, but also his hip and his parts of his back, because he had to protect that knee a little bit. But I'm expecting him to, you know, come out and maybe lower the expectations a bit. I don't know if he's necessarily thinking about winning, but, you know, playing 4 good solid rounds, dipping his toe back into the competitive water again, you know, and hopefully ramping up, you know, to get some competition under his belt as he heads to Augusta National.
Something we talked about a number of times, Frank and I, in the last several shows, everybody does in golf, is Bryson DeChambeau. And
sorry.
I see that Matthew Fitzpatrick is going to be playing this week at Shadow Creek. He just came out a couple of days ago, was asked a question about DeChambeau, and was not real complimentary, basically, not personally, but just saying that he's kind of making a bit of a sham of the game, and it's not the way it's supposed to be played, and kind of critical of the fact that he's overpowering golf courses, but not necessarily showing the skill set that you would normally attribute to golfers with great left-to-right shots and different kinds of shots that they have to hit and great putting and all that. What's your stance on the whole DeChambeau, let's call it still an experiment that's going on? Is it here to stay? Are other golfers going to emulate that? And is Fitzpatrick maybe just kind of, you know, spitting in the wind and saying, hey, I wish I had 20 more yards, but I don't have it unless I beef up and get stronger? Is there a lot of people out there? Are there people, other golfers, that are not real crazy about what DeChambeau's doing?
Well, I like Matt Fitzpatrick a lot. I think he's a good, solid soul for the game. He's a great player, too. But I think he, you know, he kind of stepped out of his lane a bit. He's just not that style of player. When Shaquille O'Neal came out to the NBA, he was all power. Nobody could really stop him. Is that Shaq's fault? Was he playing well within the rules of the NBA? Absolutely. Is Bryson DeChambeau doing the same thing? Yes. He's figured out a way to attack a golf course in his style, in his way. And I totally disagree with him about Fitzpatrick about Bryce not being an artist. I think he is. In my opinion, he's turning into one of the better putters on the PGA Tour. So good for Bryce. You know, he's figured out the way he wants to attack this game in his unique way of life. He's been talking about this since he was a teenager. He didn't just stumble upon this. He's, you know, this same shaft length and all of his irons and adding the ball, can, you know, just figuring it out now, a 48-inch driver that he wants to bring out at Augusta National. Again, all within the rules. This is not Bryson's issue. And I think he's being vilified unjustly for the way he's playing the game. So, you know, it's like anything, especially in golf. When change happens, people are generally resistant to it. They were that way a bit when Tiger came out, and he was bombing it everywhere and doing things with a golf ball that they had never seen before. But, you know, ultimately they respected him. And I think, you know, that they should look at Bryson DeChambeau, who's now a major champion, and respect him as well.
Bryson DeChambeau, we've been talking about him a lot lately. And Art Selinger has been on the show. He's a contributor to Golf Talk America. And Art made the comment in the last show. He said, "You ain't seen nothing yet." So DeChambeau's making some more changes, I think a little bit with his shaft. So we might see maybe some more length out of Bryson DeChambeau going forward.
Well, I want to say this so people don't know about Bryson DeChambeau. Bryson and is totally exemplifying, and this could be unfortunate, and it's a struggle right now for Rory McIlroy personally, who probably has more talent than Bryson, but Bryson is outworking McIlroy and basically everybody else on the PGA Tour because he is so consumed with this. You know, golf is what he has, and that's, I wouldn't say it's all he has, but it's his primary focus. It's all he thinks about. I mean, a good day for Bryson is waking up in the Dallas area, making himself breakfast, going to his club, working on some things with his game, hitting balls, maybe playing nine holes with a member, coming back, adjusting some equipment, getting into a flight scope, launch monitor, coming back, fixing dinner, playing Fortnite, go to bed. That's a good day. I mean, that's it. Yeah. I mean, that's it. That's what he does. I mean, that's a good day for him.
It's a good day for me.
I mean, he's not, when I say that, and I say this with love and sincerity, he is not, he doesn't have family to worry about, or when I say worry, to, you know, be responsible for. He's just consumed and selfishly trying to climb his way to the number one spot in the world. And so far he's on the right track.
Yeah. You said that very well, Todd. He doesn't, his focus is just that. It's
correct.
His game, it's his golf, and he doesn't have all of the other distractions, and they're good distractions. Family's a great distraction.
Correct.
But he doesn't have them, and that's.
I don't think Frank, people understand how hard it is to be a top elite player.
You have
to spend so much time working on your game, so much time working in the gym. I mean, you just don't show up at a golf course and win five or six tournaments on the PGA Tour and ascend to number one in the world. You are constantly working because you are being pushed by those who want that top spot as much as you. I mean, Dustin Johnson knows he's been there and he's fallen back and now he's back up. And, you know, he knows he's got to put all the work in 10, 12 hours a day.
Well, Bryson has, in my opinion, a total added dimension in his approach to professional golf. And you've watched him. I've watched him. Tim, you know, grew up with him, or he grew up around Tim there in Dallas. At the Players' Championship, not this past year, but the prior year, out on the range, on the back range there, I stood there for an hour watching him with two computers, a guy with a bottle of water, the flight scope launch monitor, and then dripping water on the golf ball, and then he would hit it. I mean, he's that analytical, and that whole aspect of him is what I think sets him totally apart from 99% of the other players.
Right, and what I don't understand are fans, media members that criticize him for that.
No.
I mean, I don't get that. I mean, he's
smart.
Doing it his way, and it's obviously working. Yeah, so just, you know, just because it's not your way doesn't mean it's wrong.
My way is not dripping water on the golf ball. It's probably spilling a beer in the golf cart before I hit the ball. So, but, hey, let me – go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
Just resetting. Reset. Just resetting, Frank. Yep. Yeah, we're joined by Todd Lewis with the Golf Channel. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah,
good question.
So week in, week out, you're out there right now. What is it that? What's the most exciting part of arriving at a tournament? Like when we all get there, we all are saying hi to each other, and we get to go to dinner at our favorite restaurants around town. What's the most excitement that you have when you first get there at a golf tournament for our listeners today?
At the tournament or the city?
The city. I'm sorry. Getting into the city for the event. It's tough.
You know, I'm an odd bird. First thing is hotel. To be honest, you want to make sure you're at a decent hotel. So that's the biggest thing. And I'm one of those that when I get in, I have to unpack everything and put it in the drawers. And do all that because I'm going to feel like, you know, I'm there for 7 days or eight days actually. And I, you know, like it's kind of a little bit of a home away from home. So I try to make it, you know, I put the suitcases away because it reminds me that I'm on the road so much, as odd as that may be. So the hotel, then you get out to the golf course and it's kind of work. Parking is a big deal. I don't like to get on shuttle buses. I know I sound like a prima donna, and I'm not trying to.
No, none of us like shuttle buses at all.
Yeah, no,
at
I
all.
Don't like shuttle buses. So parking is a big deal. And then you get out to the golf tournament, and then you're seeing the players and seeing the caddies and seeing the people that you see out there, because they're kind of, you know, they're kind of your family away from your family.
Yeah.
So,
and I guess that's
those things.
I guess that's where I was going. It's because you're out there so much, and we used to be out there, and I miss it immensely being out there. But the general public, and I say that, you know, nicely, doesn't realize how difficult it is to pack, to unpack, to find parking, to get on a plane, and not oh poor pitiful me or oh poor pitiful Todd.
Right.
It is very difficult week in and week out. And one of the toughest things, I think, for the PGA Tour professionals is getting in and out of the cities and the hotels and the golf tournaments, all the distractions that brings into it. So focus is everything, and especially with you and having to do the work that you do in preparation to do the interviews.
Right. Yeah, then, I mean, I totally agree. And you're exactly right. There's no, I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me. I am very fortunate to have the job I have. And I know if I left the Golf Channel for whatever reason, there'd be 1,000 applicants for my position. But you're right. It is, sometimes you feel unrooted a bit because your family, I live in Orlando half my year. The other half I'm in a Marriott property somewhere. So, you know, you kind of feel
like that feather
in the Forrest Gump movie a bit, but that's okay. You know, I didn't get drafted to do this. I chose to do this and I enjoy it. And my family's been supportive, but it's odd, you know, little things you have to do. Like when I was just talking to you, I was cashing out at CVS because I forgot to pack deodorant.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Social distancing has a new meaning, Todd.
You won't need it, Todd. Don't worry about that.
12 feet, brother. 12 feet.
Never going to sweat.
Hey, so you said you played golf when you got into one of my favorite places in the world, Vegas. Where did you play yesterday?
I was fortunate. Our producer, Andrew Bradley, great producer.
Oh, yeah.
Hooked us up at Southern Highlands, which I'd never played before.
Nice track.
It's a good spot.
So you walked out of there with money still in your pocket, hopefully.
Southern Highlands?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Didn't lose anything.
Yeah, it's a five star.
Oh yeah.
Place. Oh, yeah. It's tremendous. It's a good golf experience.
No, I meant possibly maybe a little match or something, not the expense, but
we actually lost. I was doing okay. You see, I had a I had a 4 a.m. wake up call in Orlando to get on my plane, landed, and then went straight to the golf course. So about the eighth or ninth hole, my legs were kind of like ugh. So we lost in the final hole.
Well, at least you held your own through 17.
That's not bad.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Again, we're joined by Todd Lewis with the Golf Channel. He's joining us in Las Vegas, the site of this week's stop in the PGA Tour, which is the CJ Cup at Shadow Creek. We do appreciate your time, Todd. We know you're obviously busy and you got to do your research and everything else and get ready, so we don't want to take up too much of your time. But before we let you go, the tournament after this is the Zozo Championship, a few more in between, but we have the Masters kind of right around the corner, right after the Houston Open being rescheduled. Masters starts on November the 12th. We talked a little bit about DeChambeau and getting ready for what he's going to do to Augusta National. Are you looking forward as much to the Masters this year as you ever would, or is it tainted at all, not in a bad way, but because it's been moved around and the schedule's been so bizarre, or is this to you, like it is for me, but is this... It's the Masters, and no matter when or where they play, when they play it, you're always going to be psyched up for that tournament?
I think each Masters has its own fingerprint. I've been to the Masters several times when there's maybe been more anticipation in regards to storylines, like Rory going for the career Grand Slam or Tiger returning, and now Tiger's a defending champion, those things. But I'm interested to see how this plays in the fall. The autumnal colors, I think, will be there. How the golf course reacts at this time of year, and how the players react to the golf course at this time of year. So I don't think it's tainted. I think it's going to be unique, and I think it's going to be interesting. And I hope the fans will tune in because there's going to be a lot of sports on the schedule there. It's just not going to be a singular event like it is in April. There's football going on, and so I'm interested in all those storylines, but I think it's absolutely going to be incredibly exciting.
Yeah, it really is to all of us. I mean, I can't wait for the Masters, and hope we'll be there in Augusta for it at our friends there at Azalea. But and you'll be there, I'm sure. So it's gonna be a blast. We'll have to get together in Augusta at least 6 feet apart.
If we can.
If we can.
Don't forget your deodorant.
Yeah. That's right.
Todd, I didn't know the show was brought to you by Old Spice and CVS this morning.
Yeah, I know.
Two new sponsors here. Yeah, there you go.
You'll get a case of Old Spice next week. It'll be sent to you.
Sometimes I need it. It's going to be 90 here today, so we'll need it.
Oh.
I know. Yeah, you got some heat out there for
coat
sure.
And tie.
But it looks like beautiful weather. So enjoy it. We know you're going to do a great job in the Golf Channel, as you always do. And, again, thanks for taking us on a little walk down the strip with you in Las Vegas and making everybody feel like we're getting out of the house a little bit through Todd Lewis. And we do appreciate your time, Todd. Thanks so much.
Perfect timing. I'm about to walk into my hotel.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Have a good one, guys.
See you soon.
All right. Take care. Todd Lewis with the Golf Channel. And, yeah, that was a nice little walk down the strip.
Live from the strip.
Todd, I like that.
The sounds of Vegas early in the morning. We didn't hear anybody hurling on the sidewalk or anything.
Well,
so
you could almost tell it was a COVID time, right? Because normally that would be busy and noisy and honking horns and cabs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think you could tell that it's a little bit different than it normally would be. But I agree, going back a few minutes to what we were talking about, I think PGA Tour's done a great, great job.
They have.
NBA did as well. Not very many COVID cases for them, and certainly on the PGA Tour, they've kept it under control. So
congratulations to the Lakers.
Feather in their cap.
Damn it.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm kind of pulling for Miami.
Yeah, you think? Me too.
Well, LeBron's kind of in that same, Tiger, Tom Brady world. Yeah. There's a lot of people that don't
want
to keep winning. Right?
Wait a minute.
Enough's enough.
Tom Brady, welcome to Tampa. It's an awakening for him, I think.
He wins too much, right? Is my point. It's
I know what
people
you mean.
Get down on LeBron. You're like, oh, it really goes to another team and wins again. I mean, there aren't many guys.
You know what the difference between LeBron
teams,
and Tiger?
Like,
no. The difference in LeBron and Tiger is everybody still wants Tiger to win. I say everybody. Most still want Tiger to win.
They do now.
When he shows up.
I mean, if LeBron had gone through what Tiger went through and had to miss 3 or 4 years and injuries and all that, maybe it'd be different. People love the comeback, right? They love to build a star up. They love to cut him back down. And they love to bring him back again to another life. And that's what Tiger had. I don't know if Tiger never missed any of that or ever had any injuries, if people would still be. I think there would be a lot of people going, okay, he's won freaking everything 100 times. Can't we get Bryson in here once in a while or something like that? So I think that's what LeBron deals with is people just going for somebody other than LeBron.
To go back to what Todd said, he's absolutely right. I don't think Bryson DeChambeau should be vilified for what he's doing.
No.
I mean,
I agree.
What he's doing is just a little bit smarter and stronger than everybody else right now. So what are you looking for?
Well,
what is every athlete looking for? An edge.
Yeah.
What did he get?
Sure.
He got a big, fat edge. And
we all know, we saw at Wingfoot, that he was closing down the range. I mean, he's not doing it and drinking whiskey on the golf course and putting his thumb in his nose in air like, I don't care about this. He cares so much that he's overworking a lot of other people, outworking a lot of other people. And let's not forget, when it comes to the talent part that Matthew Fitzpatrick was talking about, this is a guy who, at 40, 50 pounds lighter, won a U.S. amateur and an NCAA title. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau was a very good golfer. He just decided, there's a way maybe I can get better, and he's doing that. He was not a schmuck before who hadn't won Jack and nobody knew it. He was a very accomplished golfer.
I
got to go to another level.
Schmuck? You know, I have to say this, and I steer away from politics, but I am, we're all kind of stuck at home these days, although it's a beautiful day in Nashville, and I'm heading out to Bluegrass to tee it up after the show. One of the senators yesterday called another senator during the hearings for our prospective Supreme Court justice a jack wagon. On the air, on TV.
That was the actual term?
Jackwagon?
Jackwagon. Are you substituting? Yes. Really?
No, he called him a jackwagon.
Jackwagon,
yeah. Interesting. So schmuck, jackwagon, whatever they may be. I still got to tell you, you made the comment about DeChambeau and the NCAA championship and SMU and all that. He would have probably won back-to-back championships if he had had the opportunity to stay in school and compete again, but the NCAA took that opportunity away from him i.e. the...
Yeah, they get put on probation.
The sanctions to SMU. Because it was basketball team-based. It wasn't golf team-based. Because they got a 50% discount on some golf shirts. Come on.
Yeah, there was some really fine lines that the NCAA has a way of getting you for that, you know. Yeah, that was... Remember that? Yeah, you now that you mentioned that, I'd kind of forgotten. But yeah, that was part of what they came down on. The golf team was the coach of the team, when a prospective recruit would come in, they would not give them golf attire, but they would sell them golf attire, but at their cost.
Yeah.
Right? So a shirt would be $20 instead of $60 or whatever it would be. And the NCAA said, no, you have to sell it at retail. You can't give it to – because you got an advantage that somebody else wouldn't have had.
There.
And you're like, okay, we didn't give it to them. We sold it, but we just didn't make any money.
So the parents came back and said, okay, we'll pay the difference, right? Remember that?
Yeah, we want us to pay.
Yeah, we'll pay the difference. We're sorry we didn't know. Oh, no, too late. Uh-uh, sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Damn NCAA.
There's so many things about the NCAA that just
get me started.
Absolutely crazy. Yeah, me too.
So going to be a great week. This is going to be a great golf tournament. A lot of TV time. Went out and made a purchase.
I'm looking forward to it.
Different TV. Bigger TV, more colorful TV, if you will, just for this season, man. Just to watch golf in 4K. It's just awesome.
Well, I'm looking forward to Shadow Creek again, and I think people should watch it for that reason too. Even if you watch the Tiger Phil thing, which might have been your only experience with it, that was still pretty limited. They didn't get a lot of because it was two guys. They didn't go from this hole to that hole, and you get a lot more coverage. I think a lot more looks at what this golf course really is, and. And I don't know that they did, and maybe they did, I forget, during the Tiger tournament match, the aerial shot to just give you the what you're talking about, which is
the topography.
Vegas is in the desert. We all know. There's nothing out there. It's just brown, right? It's just cactus and brown everywhere. And then Shadow Creek, if you get up high enough, like a blimp shot, is this green, literally like a coin that's lost in the desert that stands out. And you're like, what is that down there? And it's an oasis in the middle of... nothing but brown desert dirt sand. So it's a really testament to design and what they've done.
Do you want me to make you?
I'm really looking forward to watching again.
Want me to make you really jealous now?
Okay.
I have an invitation to play Shadow Creek.
I love it.
I have an invitation to play Shadow Creek.
You should do it. Yeah.
Can I bring a
guest?
At some point, I don't know.
When you get out there?
I'm sure after the show, I'll get a phone call from you.
Yeah.
Hey, you taking me?
Yeah. What the heck?
Yeah. Live from Shadow Creek. It's Golf Talk America. Be a lot of fun.
Well,
Shadow
Creek now, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Is it not, it was owned by Wynn, and Wynn, but I think they sold it. Is it MGM controlled now?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah.
I think the MGM is controlled. So people can go. We're making it sound like probably crazy exclusive. If you go and stay at an MGA property,
it's
stay
expensive.
Out there at the hotel,
think
for $500 or $600, you can still play it.
More
than it? Okay.
Yeah.
But you can still play it.
Yeah,
it's not
you
like
can.
You can't, you have to get an invite. You can play as a guest at the hotel.
If you lose enough money, they'll let you play Shadow Creek. If you have to
you're paying for it one way.
If you're
or the
hocking
other.
Your PXGs at the crap table, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Hey, we're talking about great golf, and it's going to be a lot of fun this week, but I want to back up a week and say huge thank yous to a couple of people, especially Jay Walkinshaw, who is the general manager of Firestone Country Club. Jay's good stick, too. Good player. We'll have Jay on the show soon. But they were so gracious there at Firestone. And also to Thomas Moore, who's the director of golf, head golf professional. Played 3 days in a row, south, north, and west course, respectively. South course, of course, is where they've played the Bridgestone Invitational, the championship course. Very historic. Firestone's extremely historic. It was impeccably manicured, Tim. Every course, every tee box, the service was beyond reproach. It was unbelievable. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. It was unbelievable how good the food was, the service was, the hospitality there from Tommy Moore.
Did you stay
and from
right
Jay.
There too?
Stayed in one of the villas. In fact, I had a villa that overlooked 18 Green on the South Course, right there. And I walk out the door. To my clubs, of course, I had put in the room because I had to talk to them the night before the first round there and kind of tell them what they needed to do for me the next day. I had candles lit and I slaughtered a goat. No, I'm kidding. But but I walk out with my clubs. I'm ready to go. It's like 6 a.m., O-Dark 30, and a cart's there. They pull up in a cart and say, no, we came to get your clubs, Mr. Bassett. No, Yeah. I mean, that level of service, exceeding expectations.
Who all did you play with? Like, who else was there?
Well, a couple of guys. Fred Altvater from Ohio Magazine, a great publication
so they're media,
in the state of Ohio.
Like golf media?
There were only three
people?
Of us there, really. Yeah. Okay. So just a few of us. So it was a very, very small, I don't want to say exclusive group, but they treated us like kings.
You kind of just did, though.
I did. But you ought to see the gifts that are sitting here in the studio from them. One-of-a-kind stuff.
It keeps coming.
Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
You like a set of tires or something?
You know what? I do need some tires on my truck. I don't know what.
Oh, see, you should have brought it up. Yeah, I got them right there for you.
Need to talk to them. Anyway, no, it was great, man. Jay and Tommy are the best. They played with us every day, and we swapped at nine. So you played like the front nine or the back nine, whatever, with the head pro, and then you play with the general manager. Both those boys, Jay and Tommy, both boys have game, pal. I mean, they're ball strikers. Both are PGA professionals.
Did they give you some pointers? Did you get some little help and everything?
Yeah. My clubs weren't on the cart the last day. Does that tell you anything? And I was playing, teeing off with Tom Moore. And let me tell you, there was a brand new set of Generation 3 PXGs fitted for me sitting on the golf cart when I walked out there. And I went, what was that? And he went, I want you to play with these. I went, really? Seriously? And I did. And I just...
Did you like them?
I tried to steal them. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we need to get the folks from PXG on the show because they were incredible, Tim. I've always kind of pooped. I said, well, they're overpriced. They're this. No, they're not. They're just damn fine golf sticks. Well-made. Well, they're beautiful clubs. They were forged. I hit some of the best shots I've hit in a long time. And so kudos to PXG. Nice. You know, I play Titleist, as you know, and so do you. Wow. Interesting, though. It changed my – I'm definitely going to go to a fitting and see what's going to happen here. But hope Pam doesn't listen to this because PXGs are
– You like them.
I like them a lot. Them. A lot.
Very cool.
Yeah, so it was fun.
Firestone, thank you. The people at Firestone are so nice.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
It is, you know, and interestingly enough, we talk about Shadow being so exclusive and this and that. Firestone also is a gem and happens to be in the Club Corp family. So we can go play it. You as a Club Corp member out there can go play Firestone Country Club. They have stay and play packages. And we'll get into all this in a subsequent show when we have Jay and Tommy on the show together. And Tommy can tell you. Jay gave me a great tip, by the way. And then Tommy gave me several good tips. I played with him a little bit more. But, wow, what a place, buddy. I've never been to Akron, never been to Firestone Country Club in my life. All over the world playing golf, but never been to Firestone. And it was it was magical. It really, really was magical.
I was there
for Greens were running
ago,
13, pal. They were running 12.5 to 13.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, it is a beautiful place. Yeah, I was doing I did the Bridgestone on PJ Tour Radio a few years ago.
You did,
And it was it was really, really a very nice golf course and the whole facility. And you're right, they kind of, although I wasn't there to play, you can tell it was just run like clockwork.
Yeah.
Just very, very on top of everything, the people there and at that point the volunteers and everybody for the tournament. But it is, if people have a chance, which you can give it a run there. It's open to people. That it's not exclusive, isn't in the private club standpoint, but certainly it speaks to joining a club that's a Club Corp participant because there's over 250 golf courses all over the country that you can play if you're a member at Club Corp. So check them out. Clubcorp.com, by the way, is a website that you can go to and find out more about anything, any course in your area. And also get the privileges, like we were talking about, to play at some like Firestone.
I'm looking here at Jay Walkinshaw, the general manager's cell phone number. We can give that out on the air if people want to call him direct and get a tee time, right?
Yeah, sure. Do that right now. I would recommend like 3 in the morning would be a good time to
It's kind of like the old joke, Tim. I know I'm going off the rails here, but years ago somebody made me kind of mad, a couple of us kind of mad, golf buddy. And so we, in the old days of early cell phones when it was really expensive, like 35 cents a minute, things like that.
Uh-huh.
We posted his cell phone number in an ad in the Jacksonville, the Florida Times Union paper.
Nice.
And said, must sell, best offer, free bass boat, and put his cell phone number in there. in the class.
Because back then you had to pay whether you made the call or received a call.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So if you even if you got calls, you're saying, well, who would care? But if you got calls back then, you had to pay this. That was what was crazy about it. You're like, I didn't call you. Yeah. You called me. Why am I paying for this? But, yeah, you probably got a nice little bill that month.
Yeah, he did. He was not a happy camper with us. But then again, he shouldn't have made us mad. So, anyway, it's been fun. It was great having Todd, man. Todd's one of the best.
It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walking the strip.
It was good. So, all right, man, we're out of here.
Yeah.
You got golf to play.
Yeah, I do. So do you.
I got something to do.
You're going to play.
Somewhere.
I know you better than this.
I'm going to play a little bit. I got to do something. We get, once again, like to thank everybody for listening to us, as always, here on Golf Talk America. It is one of the fastest growing podcasts in the world. Be sure to find us on any of the various formats that you want to listen to our podcast, Golf Talk America. We do appreciate it. Thanks, as Frank just said, to Todd Lewis for joining us at the Golf Channel. Be sure to watch PGA Tour this weekend. The CJ Cup in Shadow Creek should be very, very exciting. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks again for listening, and remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America. Yeah.